Amen and amen. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Hey. Amen. Amen and amen. Good evening, Central Park Baptist Church. Good evening to you all. How are we doing this evening? We're doing well? Amen. Well, if you're able to rise, we'd like for you to join us in singing our opening hymn, hymn 590. Our opening hymn. Amen. Sing along. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy, oh my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Verse 2. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy, oh my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I possess of the hope that is steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy over my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. There's a light in the valley of death now for me. Since Jesus came into my heart. The gates of the city beyond I can see since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy over my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know since Jesus came into my heart. I am happy, so happy, and onward I go since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy over my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful to be here during this midweek worship. We're thankful, Lord, for those of us who are born again, children of God, Lord, that we have you in our hearts. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you be with all facets of tonight's worship, Lord, and that you alone are glorified and the saints edified. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. As you may be seated, you sang that first hymn so beautifully. We're going to let you sit on this next one. Amen. Hymn 393. If you're a born-again believer, you have blessed assurance, amen, that Jesus is yours, amen. Amen. Sing along. A blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect submission, perfect delight, vision of rapture now burst on my side. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. A perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Amen and amen.
And well, once again, welcome to Central Park Baptist Church. Welcome this evening. And I was just thinking about this. How many of y'all hit traffic on your way in? Now, I know some of y'all only live a few minutes away. How many of y'all? Yeah, the traffic was really bad this evening, really bad and stuff like that. But I'm glad y'all made it in this evening. Well, we're going to go over a few needs on the prayer list. So if you need a prayer list, raise your hand and the men in the back will get you one. Just raise your hand. And right before that, if you still have your bulletin from Sunday, we have all of our announcements in there. Don't forget, coming up this Saturday, we have the baby shower from Ms. Sarah Bouguet, and that will be at 1 p.m. So ladies, be here for that on Saturday. And then teachers, don't forget Sunday at 1:15, we're going to have teachers meeting, all right? So be here in your place for that. All teachers and all helpers, be here for that teachers meeting this Sunday at 1:15. And then also, don't forget about the opportunities to serve. And I know we've been hidden on this every week, it seems like, but the need is great. Amen. And so we have some different needs available, such as lawn care and then the church cleaning. And I myself got out there and was trying to, Brother Carey, for your benefit, I was trying to kill that poison ivy. And so I don't think it bit me very much, but I was out there trying to kill it all and stuff like that. But again, to help Brother Carey and his wife and family out there, we need some helpers for the lawn care. And then also for the church cleaning upstairs, if you have any questions about that, see Miss Sherry. And then don't forget about Brother Choi's graduation tomorrow. That's going to be at 10 a.m. at Heartland Baptist Bible College there in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And so if you'd like to go there, you can see me for some details on that. And then also, men, don't forget, and ladies as well, but soul winning, this Saturday at 9:30. Amen. We've been going out, and we've been going north towards the high school up there, Hebron High School, and we've been seeing a lot of fruit, okay? A lot of doors are opening, and God has been blessing in that endeavor. So again, come on out and help us. You don't even got to talk to anybody, all right? You can be what we call a silent helper, okay, or a silent partner, and just leave one on the door. That's one job. And sometimes sometimes, like I had an encounter the other day, and I went to put it on the doorknob, and the doorknob was one of those awkward doorknobs, and the guy opened the door real fast, and I was just like, oh, hello, and stuff like that. But that is very rare that we have those encounters. But again, just come on out and share the good news to our neighborhood and our community. So if you have your prayer sheet here, we're just going to go over a few of the needs mentioned on here. There's a lot of needs under the health category there. But again, keep in prayer Miss Jackson, all right, and the needs there and the continued recovery. And then also Brother Marco, amen, he had his procedure this Monday, and I hear that he's recovering now. And so, again, just be in prayer for him and Miss Eva as well. And if you get around to it, once you send them a text and let them know you're praying for them, call them, send them a letter in the mail, something like that. I know that would be an encouragement to him there. And then continue prayer for Brother Gary as well. He's here this evening. Amen. But amen. Continue to pray for him and stuff like that. And then there's many others there with terminal illnesses and things like that. So keep those in prayer. And even the ladies that are expecting, keep them in prayer as well. And so does anyone have a brief prayer request? And I know we're not going to open it up very long, but anything, an update, anything? Ms. Mallory? Okay. Yes, ma'am. We'll get that change for you there. Okay. Okay. And we'll get that updated for next time. Thank you for doing that. All right. Well, let's take these needs to the Lord in prayer, and then also we'll go ahead and pray for our offering. So if you have an offering after the prayer, go ahead and bring that up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for the day that you've given us, Lord, and the many blessings that you've bestowed upon our lives, God. And Lord, we come before you this evening to worship you, Lord, in songs and praise, but Lord, also to make these requests known unto you, God. And I know many have unspoken, God, that were not mentioned or aren't written on this list. And I pray, God, that you meet each and every one of those needs that even weren't spoken tonight. But Lord, I pray that you'd be with those, Lord, that are ill in our church, God, and that need a special healing touch. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be with even Brother Marco, Lord. We love him, God, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help him to recover quickly, Lord, and to be back in his place, Lord, and that you'd give him a time of rest and peace right now, Lord, and ease his pain. But I pray, God, that you'd encourage his heart, Lord, and help him to be back in his place. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with Brother Gary as he continues on there with his illnesses, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'd touch his heart or his life there and help him, Lord, as he seeks help. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be with Miss Jackson as she continues to recover there. And I pray, God, that you'd be with the family and such as that, Lord. And the many others, Lord, on our prayer sheet, God, that need your help. Lord, I pray, Lord, even for the salvations, as is mentioned, Lord, there's many, God, that we know that need to be saved. And I pray, Lord, that you send somebody by their door, even this week, God, to invite them to church, Lord, to share the gospel with them. And I pray, Lord, that they would be saved as a result of that. God, I pray that you be with this offering to come, Lord. Bless the gift and the giver, Lord, and give us a good evening in your house, and we'll thank you for it. We love you, God, and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
This time, we're going to ask all of those who would normally attend Brother DeVito's class, the young people, you're now dismissed for Brother DeVito's class. And while that is happening, the rest of us, if you're able to rise, we'd like for you to join us in singing hymn 497. Since we've been talking about Daniel here for the past few Wednesdays, we thought we'd sing a song about Daniel. Amen. Hymn 497. you, Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it on. Verse 2. Many mighty men are lost, dare to stand, who forgot and been a host by joining Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Verse 3. Many giants, great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Last verse. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grand. Satan and his host defy and shout to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Amen. Please briefly greet each other as we prepare for tonight. Bible study. Amen and amen. Amen. Just wanted to make a quick announcement that our pastor is at the graduation conference this evening and going to be helping Brother Choi celebrate his graduation tomorrow. Amen. So he has asked that if I could teach for this evening. Amen. Amen. So what we're going to do here is, I got stuff all over the place, but we'll get to it later. What I'd like for us to do is for us to continue our study in Daniel. Amen. So what we want you to do is to turn to Daniel, the fifth chapter. Daniel, the fifth chapter. Now, if you have your hardback pew Bibles, you can find this on page 655. Page 655 of your hardback pew Bibles. We're going to turn to Daniel, the fifth chapter, and start at the first verse. What I'd like to ask to do, for those of you who are able to rise, we'd like for you to rise. And I'd like for us all to read the first five verses together in unison, and then we'll have a word of prayer and you may be seated. Is that okay? Amen. Amen. Daniel 5, are we there? Here we go. It says, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Verse 3. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just are thankful, Lord, for this imparting of your word as we dive into the book of Daniel, Lord, this fifth chapter. Father, just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit teach us what you would have us to learn this evening. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. We see here in this particular chapter, we're dealing with a king named Belshazzar. Okay, now it says that Belshazzar, who happened to be the king of Babylon at this time, he said he made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. And in verse 2, It says, Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Now, what we've talked about up until now out of the book of Daniel, we've dealt with Nebuchadnezzar as king. But here in chapter 5, that time has passed, and now this particular guy is acting in the king role here at Babylon. Now, the scripture tells us or describes to us that Belshazzar's father was Nebuchadnezzar. But actually, if you study this biblically and also in secular history, many Bible scholars believe that Nebuchadnezzar was actually Belshazzar's grandfather and not his immediate father, because there was no such thing as grandfather or great-grandfather in the King James Bible. Whenever you refer to someone as father, it could have been a father figure, it could have been a biological father, or it could have been a descendant. Is that all right? You have to keep in mind the use of the word father and even son in Scripture. There was two blind men on the side of the road, and when they heard Jesus was walking by, what did they say to Jesus? They said, Son of David, have mercy upon us. Now, was Jesus the physical son of David? No, of course not. But according to the Gospels of Matthew and the Gospels of Luke, Jesus was of the lineage of King David. And so he wasn't a son. He wasn't the actual biological son of David. That was just their way of saying that he was descended from the lineage of David. Is that all right? And so when you see the word father and son, you really need to also understand the context into where it's being used. OK, so are we OK with that so far? Amen. Now, you see here, it says that Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple. So they had all of these holy vessels which were taken out of Jerusalem and they were put in this hold. And so Belshazzar, he gets this bright idea that he wants to blaspheme the God of the Bible and defile the holy implements that were used that had originally come out of the temple of Jerusalem. Now, when you look at this, it says while he tasted the wine. You're not going to find anywhere in this chapter where it says he got drunk. You'll see in this chapter where it says he drank the wine. But you will not see in this chapter where it says he got drunk. So what am I saying? What we're saying here is that it is best just to totally stay away from alcoholic beverages. All right. Now, I know some people even in the sanctuary may have an issue with that, because what's the mantra? The mantra is, well, it's OK to drink as long as you don't get drunk. Right. We've all heard that. Some of you may have said that. You don't have to raise your hand. OK. It's okay to drink as long as you don't get drunk. But what did the scripture say right here? The scripture says, while he yet tasted. So what did he do? Belshazzar, he takes a couple of sips. I think I want to blaspheme God today. You see, he wasn't drunk. But even the taste of the alcohol made him make a very, very bad decision. Are y'all hearing me? And so that's why it's best just to stay away from it. Okay? And like I said, I know that there may be some who disagree with that. I know definitely if this is being recorded on Facebook Live and YouTube, there's a lot of people out there who disagree with me out on Facebook Live. But I like to tell our Facebook Live people that the next time you're going to have surgery, take your surgeon out for drinks an hour before your procedure and get back to me. Okay? Don't make sure he doesn't get drunk. But just give them a taste, just like we got right here. Okay? It's best just to stay away from the alcohol. All right? So we read here a little further here in verse 3. It says, then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. This shows you how debased and how, I can't find the right word, how lustful, how wicked this guy was. He had more than one wife. Now, the institution of marriage, if you want to understand the real institution of marriage and how God established marriage between a man and a woman, read the last three chapters of Genesis chapter 2. You don't have to turn there now. But that tells you the perfect definition of what God intended a marriage to be. God did not intend for there to be a man and wives. Okay, to show you this type of character this guy is. It wasn't good enough for him to have one wife. He had to have more than one. And then, what else does it say here? It said he had wives and concubines. You say, well, what's a concubine? That's just a glorified girlfriend. Basically, is what it is. Yeah, I won't go into any more details of that, but concubines don't have the same status of a wife, but they still do the wife stuff. Okay? All right? But you see right here that it wasn't even enough for this guy to have more than one wife. He had a girlfriend, and it wasn't even enough for him to have one girlfriend. He had to have a bunch of girlfriends. So you see, this is a very, very wicked individual with a very bad character. Are we okay with that? Oh, I wish I had a praying church. Y'all getting quiet on me here. Okay. It says in that same hour in verse 5 that it came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw that part of the hand that wrote. Now, the king is, he's tasting the wine, but he's not drunk. So it would be easy if he was just totally blasted. He could say, oh, man, I'm seeing fingers on the wall, you know. But he's not totally blasted. So when he's looking and seeing these fingers on the wall, he's saying, hey, this is for real that's happening. I'm not imagining this. All right. And so from that point, the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. This is where we get the phrase, the writing on the wall. Right. Let's say that you're at your job. Your manager's manager gets fired. Then your manager gets fired. You say, uh-oh, I see the writing on the wall. I'm next. Handwriting on the wall. It comes from this passage right here. Biblical reference. Handwriting on the wall. Okay, so we see here in verse 6, it says, then the king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins were loose and his knees smote one against another. Now, I personally have never experienced that or seen that. I've seen it in the cartoons. Bugs Bunny with Elmer Fudd, knees knocking. I've never seen that, but this guy is pretty scared, isn't he? Okay. Now, look what he does here as a solution after he sees this. Verse 7, it says, the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. All right. So what is his reaction here to this handwriting on the wall? And then whatever was written there, he didn't know what it meant. What was his first reaction? His first reaction was to turn to the wisdom of man. He did not go directly to God. He did not go directly to a man of God. He went and called upon the wisdom of man. And we're going to find out here in a moment that the wisdom of man is insufficient. All right. Now, when I was looking at this, that made me think about what, you know, like a natural disaster or event or situation that happened here in the States a couple of years ago called COVID. And so I was thinking to myself, you know, when our nation was under siege, when COVID first hit in 2020, who did we turn to? And I was thinking, you know, we didn't have a national day of prayer or anything. Everybody was saying, oh, well, we'll figure it out. We will create a vaccine. This is unprecedented times. We're all in this together. Okay? But they were relying on man's wisdom to get them through that situation. However, I found out, I did some research, I found out that I was wrong. I found out that the president at that time actually did issue a national day of prayer for COVID, and he did it on Sunday, March the 15th, 2020. And I said, how in the world did I miss that? How in the world did I miss the National Day? Because the National Day of Prayer is normally the first Thursday in May and has been that way for years. I think it goes back to Eisenhower or somebody like that. Okay. But the president at that time declared a National Day of Prayer as soon as COVID hit, which, by the way, is the right thing to do. Whenever you're faced with a situation, you go to God first. Amen. So, amen. All right. We got some amens on that one. Okay. Now, but here's the thing. The reason I didn't remember was because the very next week, all the governors in all the states shut down church. The very next week. And so I just thought it was interesting that they declared it a national day of prayer, but then you couldn't go to the house of God to pray. Unless it was fear of being fined or put in jail or whatever the case was. All right. I'm going to leave that alone. Y'all starting to get quiet on me now. Okay. But anyway, so the wisdom of man is insufficient. Verse 8, then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. That's another word for astonished. Okay. Verse 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. Now let's talk about this queen for a moment. I do not believe, and I could be wrong. I want y'all to, whatever I teach here tonight, I'm sure the pastor will fix it when he gets back. But I do not believe that this queen is Belshazzar's wife, but I believe that this queen is Belshazzar's mother. And the reason I say that is because the scripture says that Belshazzar's wives and concubines were already with them in the banquet hall. If you look at verse 10, it says, now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. So this is someone who wasn't there before. So this is probably not Belshazzar's wife, but more than likely it is his mother, which is more than likely the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, and we're going to have some more proof text as to why I believe that this is an older woman, more than likely Belshazzar's mother. We're going to read this in just a moment. Okay, so in verse 11, she's talking. She says, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Well, he may have been full of the Holy Spirit, but she didn't know any better. A spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. This all happened back in Daniel chapter 2, by the way. Now, she's giving Belshazzar a history lesson about this man, Daniel. It's like Belshazzar's never heard of this guy before. So by virtue of the fact she's able to recall the time of Nebuchadnezzar makes me think she's probably an older woman who was around during that time that Daniel was dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. Are we okay? Okay. So look, verse 12 says, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of heart sentences and dissolving doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar. That was Daniel's Persian or Babylonian name. Now let Daniel be called and he will show the interpretation. Verse 13, then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought out of the jewelry? So Belshazzar is acting like he don't even know who this guy is. And he's having to ask him, are you the Daniel that the queen was talking about? So obviously there was a disconnect there where I don't know if Daniel got promoted after Nebuchadnezzar's reign or what, but he acted as though he really didn't know who Daniel was. Now, here's my question. It says Daniel was brought in. Why wasn't Daniel at the party? Huh? Well, you may say, well, Belshazzar didn't know who Daniel was, so he couldn't send him an invitation. He didn't know who he was. Okay. But even if Belshazzar did know who Daniel was, and he purposely invited Daniel, do you think Daniel would have attended? Why not? Why do you think many of you shaking your head said no, that even if he was personally invited, he wouldn't attend? Why wouldn't have Daniel attended? It's not his kind of party. We would be hard-pressed to believe that with the integrity of Daniel, that he would participate in a party that was blaspheming God. Okay? So my question is, why do many of us born again, scripturally baptized children of God, partake in the blaspheming of God? Watching South Park, American Dad, The Simpsons. Hello? It's getting real quiet. Huh? Okay, and I'm not necessarily saying you in this room. Okay, please don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to point fingers, but I'm just saying in general, we have too many Christians who see God being blasphemed. They see the cartoon Jesus sitting with the cartoon Satan at a bar, and we think it's funny. And when I say we, I'm not saying you all in this room. Okay. All right. Daniel had the integrity that where we can say, based upon his testimony, that there is no way he would have actively participated in such an event that would blaspheme God. But then too often, too many people who say that they're Christians, they do that exact thing. All right. Okay, so that's something that we have to keep in mind. We need to dare to be a Daniel, amen. Dare to stand alone. When the other people want to do something wicked, we're going to stand alone and we're going to stand on the promises of God, amen. Amen. Verse 14, it says, I have even heard of thee, that, and this is Belshazzar still talking to Daniel, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, that I love that phrase, dissolve doubts, because what is that saying? That's saying that once Daniel speaks in this matter, you could take it to the bank. There's no doubt that what he's speaking is of God. All right. He's like the E.F. Hutton of the Bible days. When Daniel speaks, people are going to listen because he dissolves doubts. He dissolves doubts. Now, if thou can read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck. Oh, man, that sounds nice. And shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Look how Daniel responds to this in verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. Hold your place here. I want you to turn to Proverbs 15:27. For those of you who have your hardback pew Bibles, you'll find this on page 495. Make it easy for you. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. Proverbs is to the left of Daniel. Okay, I'm messing up already. Proverbs 15 and 27. Proverbs 15:27 says, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Y'all see that? Daniel refused the gifts and the rewards. He said, I don't need that stuff. He said, but I'll go ahead and help you out, but I don't need your gifts. All right. People who have a tendency to love gifts can easily be bribed, to do things that they shouldn't do because they're just so intent on having treasure here on earth. Amen. Let's see what Jesus has to say about that. Matthew 6:19 or page 707 in your hardback pew Bible. Matthew 6:19. Matthew 6:19 says, lay not, this is Jesus talking, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Amen. You can go back to Daniel 5:9 now. We see here that Daniel said that he's not going to take any gifts, but he's still going to do the right thing. You know what? What's a sad testimony today? And y'all ever seen these little Crime Stopper spots where, you know, oh, we're trying to investigate a murder and we don't know who did it. But if you have any information leading to the arrest of the suspect, we have a $1,000 reward. Y'all ever heard or seen anything like that? It's called Crime Stoppers. Okay. Isn't it sad that you have to offer money to people for them to do the right thing? They have knowledge of a murder, but you have to incentivize them with money before they come forward and do the right thing. That's a sad testimony. But you see, we don't have that testimony with Daniel because Daniel said, I don't even want your stuff, but I'm still going to do the right thing. Can we dare to be like a Daniel? All right. I guess I should have titled this Dare to Be a Daniel. But can we be like a Daniel and just do the right thing because it's just the right thing, and not be tempted by the rewards of this world? Verse 18, O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Daniel's getting ready to give Belshazzar a history lesson. The Most High King gave God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. The pastor talked about this a couple of Wednesdays ago. God sets up kings and he puts down kings. This is recorded in the second chapter, the 21st verse. You don't have to turn there, but you can go back and read the second chapter of Daniel later. And, verse 19, and for the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, languages trembled and feared before him, whom he slew and whom he would kept alive and whom he set up and whom he would put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men and his heart was made like the beast and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen and his body was wet with that of the dew of heaven till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. A lot of this is discussed in detail in the previous chapter 4, which prayerfully, hopefully, our pastor will get to. Amen. So I want you to hold your place here. I want you to go to John, the 19th chapter. John, the 19th chapter, or page 798 in your hardback pew Bible. John, the 19th chapter. I wanted to show you something that Jesus said when he was before the court of Pontius Pilate, or also known as Pontius Pilate. This is where, Pontius Pilate's actual pronunciation is Pontius Pilate. But this is where we get the word Pilates from, you know, the little exercise routine. Anyway, never mind. We'll go to chapter 9 and 11. Y'all going to sleep on me. Verse 10, 19, verse 10, John, St. John, the 19th chapter, verse 10. Then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and have the power to release thee? This is Pontius Pilate talking to Jesus. Look how Jesus responds. Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin. You can turn back. What is this? Jesus is confirming what had already been said in the Old Testament, that God decides who is set up and who is put down. Last year's November presidential election, guess what? That wasn't a surprise to God. The election for local dog catcher back in this past Saturday, guess what? That was no surprise to God. God is sovereign. He is omniscient. He knows all what is going on. All right. Whether we may agree with who is in office or not, God still gets the final say who is set up and who is set down. Amen. Amen. And Jesus confirms that for us. He told Pontius Pilate, you wouldn't have no power unless my father gave it to you. OK, well, he didn't say, but I added that. OK, I take that back because I don't want to add to scripture. Okay, verse number 22, it says, and thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Belshazzar, you knew you were doing wrong by grabbing the holy implements out of the holding cell and bringing them out and drinking out of it. You knew that you were blaspheming God. You knew that the very breath that you have, it comes from the God of the Bible and not from those gods that you praise, the gods of wood, stone, silver, and gold. He said, you knew these things. You know, and too often there are too many people, and unfortunately church people, who know to do better, but they don't do it. All right. I'm going to have you turn to the New Testament one more time. James 4:17. Or page 893 in your hardback pew Bibles if you want to cheat. James 4:17. Daniel said, Belshazzar, you knew this stuff. 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Okay, I'm not going to even add to that. Okay, let's go back. Verse 23 of Daniel 5. Verse 23 of Daniel 5. But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and who are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Isn't that something? That's the testimony of every atheist, every agnostic, every unsaved person. They haven't glorified God, even though God holds their breath in the palm of his hand. Then was the part of the hand, starting with verse 24, sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Many, many, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Okay, now you go back to verse 25. It doesn't say many once. It says it twice, doesn't it? Y'all see that? So God is telling him twice. He said, you know what? I got your number and you're done. I got your number and you're done. That's not the thing you want to hear coming from the God of heaven and earth. That's not what you want to hear. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. God said, I've taken your actions and I've been weighing them on this scale and, ooh, you're coming up short, Belshazzar. Guess what? Romans 3:23 says that we have all come short of the glory of God. I'm just thankful that I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb, because I don't have enough good works to make it balance out. I'm just like this guy. I'm found wanting. All right. I'm just thankful that Jesus paid that price. OK, but we're going to find out what happens next here. Verse 28, it says, Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Now, some people have a problem with this because in verse 25, it says many, many tekel upharsin. And then in the other verses, it says many tekel and Perez instead of upharsin. There it says Perez. And people say, well, why is that changed? Well, that is because upharsin is plural and Perez is singular, for kingdom is divided. And you say, well, those are two different words. It doesn't even sound the same. Well, you know, when you see the same thing in the English language. You can have a goose, right? But more than one goose, the plural of goose, is called gaggle. Those are two different words, but one's singular, one's plural. Okay, so y'all going to let me get away with that one? Okay, all right. So that's the reason you have upharsin in one in verse 25, but he says Perez in another. Basically means the same thing. Thy kingdom is divided. We're going to give it to the Medes and Persians. Of course, that was already prophesied when Nebuchadnezzar had his dream about the various layers of this statue and what kingdoms were going to come to power, what kingdoms were going to be brought down. Verse 29, check this out. It says, then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel in scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. All right. So it appears as though Belshazzar accepted the interpretation. And the proof text that we have for that is that he rewarded Daniel anyway. I don't think he would have rewarded Daniel if he didn't believe that what Daniel has said was the gospel truth. All right. So he puts a robe of scarlet on him, which is supposed to be royalty, similar to a robe of purple. He gives him a chain around his neck. I guess Belshazzar was a Mr. T fan. He used to watch the 1980s TV show A-Team. So you got him, Daniel, walking around looking like Mr. T. All right. And then they said he makes him the third ruler in the kingdom. Well, why doesn't he make him the second ruler of the kingdom? Well, it's probably because Belshazzar was the second ruler of the kingdom. And we don't have time to flesh this out, but there is biblical and secular history that tells us that there was this other guy named, I can't even pronounce his name, Nabonidus, something like that. The queen mother's husband. He was ruler number one.
But you say, well, why isn't he in this story? Well, he went out of the empire. He was out conquering other empires. Okay. And actually, history says he was probably dead by the time this happened, because when he went out to conquer other kingdoms, he never returned. Okay. So he was probably ruler number one. And he left the kingdom over to his son, Belshazzar, to keep. So Belshazzar was number two. So the best Belshazzar could offer Daniel was what? The number three position. Does that make sense? The reason it says, I will make you the third ruler of the kingdom instead of the second ruler. Are we okay with that? Okay, let's go here a little further. We're going to wrap up. It says, in that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans. Oh, it says, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. So the prophecy came true. But here's the thing. This guy didn't do anything, did he? We have no record that he repented or asked Daniel. He says, Daniel, this thing's going to happen to me. What must I do to be saved? It's just that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, he was slain. So Daniel got to be third in command for all of maybe 3 or 4 hours, because the other guy that came in behind him was now in charge. This is an example to let you know that the world can't offer you anything, and that which it does offer is only temporary. Belshazzar represents the world. He offered Daniel third rulership in the kingdom, and before the night was over, he had already lost that position because the guy who gave it to him was killed. Because in verse 31 it says, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. And so we have this other ruler who rises up. And so whenever you have a change in management, you're going to have changes in the employee structure as well. Amen. And so, you know, Daniel's out of luck. But Daniel didn't want that stuff anyway. Belshazzar gave it to him even though he didn't ask for it. All right. So what can we learn from this particular lesson? It is a miracle that we finished this chapter before 8 o'clock. I'm looking at the clock and I said, I don't have enough time to finish this. Okay, but let me go ahead. Belshazzar did not heed the warning sign. God had written on the wall and said, hey, these things are going to happen to you. But instead of repenting and doing what the guard did in Acts the 16th chapter, where he turned to the man of God and said, what must I do to be saved? Instead of turning to Daniel and saying, Daniel, I don't want these things to happen to me. What do I need to do? He rewarded Daniel, but then it appears as though he just went on about his business and ignored the handwriting that was on the wall. We need to heed the warning signals. When we leave here tonight, many of us on our way home, we're almost bound to run into some red octagon thing on the street that's called a stop sign. Guess what? You don't have to stop. I've seen people do it. I've seen people just blow right on through. You don't have to stop. There's nothing. Your car's not going to get zapped or something like that if you run that stop sign. But if you heed the warning sign, you have a less chance of being involved in a car accident and dying a very violent death, or or someone else being killed. All right, your chances are less. Okay. If you heed the warning sign, we as born again believers, we need to heed the warning signs. I don't even know if the video is still running or not, but those out there at Facebook Live and YouTube, there's probably maybe an atheist or agnostic that's tuned in just for the sake of it. You need to heed the warning sign, my friend. You need to heed the warning sign, because just as what happened to Belshazzar when he did not heed the writing on the wall and act upon it, his soul was required of him that night. We don't have time to turn to it, but in Luke, the 12th chapter, the 20th verse, or on page 764, it talks about another guy who had torn down barns and built up larger barns, and he was going to eat, drink, and be merry. And then the Lord said, thou fool, thy soul is required of thee tonight. And then who's going to have all the stuff in your barns? You're going to be burning in hell. Well, I added that part, so I take that back. But if he's not saved, we know where he went. Okay? All right. So it is important for us as born-again believers
to heed the warning signs. The Lord has given us His word. The Lord has given us His word. This is all the warning that we need right here. Now, sometimes the Lord will give you other warnings. He'll have things happen in your life to get your attention. One thing I love about the Lord that I serve, He's not a sneak attack God. He is not a sneak attack God. He will always give you a warning because the Lord is long-suffering. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. So He's always giving warnings to the just and the unjust alike. He's giving people warnings. He says, time is near. I believe COVID was a warning. I hate to go back and use that as an example, but I believe COVID was a warning. I believe that the stuff that's happening over in Russia and Ukraine right now is a warning, because Jesus said, when you start hearing of wars and rumors of wars, know that the time is near. God's given us some warnings, people. God's given us some warnings. Now, are we going to heed the warnings? When we see the stop sign, are we going to stop? Are we going to just be like Belshazzar and barrel on through and then get slain? All right. So what I'd like to do at this time is, as we prepare to close, if there's anyone at this time, we're going to open it up for altar call. If any of you would just like to come and just love on the Lord at this time, we're inviting you to do that at this time. If you know of someone who is lost, a friend or a loved one who is not heeding the warning signs, and they need Jesus in order to get saved. Jesus is the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. Would you come right now? Would you come right now? And if you're able, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Don't wait on anybody else to come to the altar. Dare to be a Daniel. You go out and you just trust in the Lord. Come loving the Lord a little bit. And then afterwards, we will dismiss with a corporate word of prayer. Thank you so much. Believe that the handwriting is on the wall and that the coming of the Lord is very, very soon. But I believe the Lord, God the Father, is just holding off because He just wants that one more soul to get saved. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Central Park Baptist Church. I love you all, and I thank you so much for allowing the opportunity for